The Word of God is living. It is powerful, infallible, indestructible, incorruptible, and it will work mightily in me.
And now, your host, Pastor Jerry Maya Williams, from the service Already in Progress.
This morning, I'm reading to you from the Gospel of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 14. In the Gospel of John, chapter 14, beginning at verse 12, Jesus says to his disciples, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, will he do also. And greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father." You don't get many amens when you read that verse, because many of us haven't entered the greater works ministry yet. But the Lord wants every one of us to engage ourselves to do greater works. "And whatever you ask in my name, I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." No ifs, no ands, no buts. He said, "If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." And I want to speak for a few minutes on the subject, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Please notice once again, Jesus began telling his disciples, "Most assuredly I say unto you, that the works I do shall you do also. And even greater works than these shall you do, because I go back to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, I'll do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." Now, this message is really about prayer when you talk about in Jesus' name. Because when you look at this passage concerning greater works, there is a gateway to greater works. There is a key to get greater works. And that key is prayer. Now, Christians pray in Jesus' name. How many pray in Jesus' name? That's what Christians do. We pray in Jesus' name. But we don't pray in Jesus' name as a fetish or some kind of lucky charm. Come on. We pray in Jesus' name because Jesus instructed us to. We pray in Jesus' name because God the Father loves Jesus the Son so much that he delights in answering prayer offered in Jesus' name, prayer that's offered for Jesus' sake. Can you say amen? Now, Jesus said very clearly right here that the believer would do greater works, not greater miracles. Let's not get confused about that. He did not say you'll do greater miracles. He said that the believer would do greater works. And they would do that through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, he was telling his disciples that. How could his disciples, how could you and I do greater works than Jesus did? Well, Jesus was talking to his disciples about taking the gospel out of Palestine into the whole world. Do you realize Jesus only ministered in Palestine? He never ministered anywhere else. But he said that we would do greater works. Now, I've boarded an airplane many times to fly across the ocean, to fly across the water to preach the gospel. Jesus never did, but I've never walked on water. Did you hear what I said? He's not talking about greater miracles. He's talking about greater works. So he's talking about reach, that more people would be reached than he was able to reach in 3.5 years. you and I are in a position to reach more people than Jesus ever reached. I know of a man in Toledo, Ohio, in fact. This man looked out his kitchen window one day, and he saw there in the alley where the garbage cans were lined up, he saw a hungry man going through the garbage can looking for food. And all of a sudden, he got this vision from God to open up a kitchen to feed the poor. In fact, it was called the Martin Luther King Kitchen of the Poor. And this man, Dr. H.V. Salvage, was his name. In fact, my father was on his board. He fed more than the 4,000 that Jesus fed. He fed more than the 5,000 that Jesus fed on another occasion. He fed tens of thousands of people. He was fulfilling the promise that Jesus made, that the works I do shall you do also, but greater works than these. But I never heard him say he only took 5 barley loaves and a few fish to feed his thousands. Are you starting to get this? We're going to do greater works, but not greater miracles. Huh? So the greater works are greater in quantity, not quality. Do you understand that? And the key, how many want to do greater works? Only a few hands went up. Maybe you need a greater work done on you. But the key to the greater works is prayer in Jesus' name. Huh? What does it mean? What does it mean to pray in Jesus' name? Have you stopped to even think about what it really means? Why would he keep telling his disciples, if you pray in my name, and whatever you pray in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now, some religious people pray with a rosary. Some religious people and other religious people, they pray with prayer beads. Some religious people pray with a prayer shawl draped around their shoulders. Then some religious people, particularly the Orthodox Jews, they pray and they daven, which is to rock back and forth, rock up and down. I remember when I was in Israel, and we went to the Western Wall, also known as the Wailing Wall, where the Jews were before the wall just praying to God. And they were just daven back and forth, daven back and forth. Now, in order to pray at the Western Wall, you were required, if you were a man, to cover your head. In fact, they would provide yarmulkes for the men to wear. But since I had a baseball cap on, I didn't need the yarmulke because my head was covered. I stood at the Western Wall, that Wailing Wall, and I prayed. I prayed for you. I prayed for this church. In fact, I took a church business card out of my wallet, and I held it in my hand as I prayed, and then I stuck it in the crevice of the wall. I left it there before God. But the religious people prayed their way, but I prayed in Jesus' name. I didn't rock. Come on. I didn't have any rosary. I didn't have any prayer beads. I didn't have a shawl draped around my shoulders. All I did was stand before that wall and said, in Jesus' name I pray. To pray in Jesus' name is not some kind of magic formula. Did you hear me? It's not a magic formula we use to fulfill our selfish desires. Neither is just a phrase you insert at the end of a prayer. Just put this at the end of your prayer. No, it has a meaning. So what does it mean to pray in Jesus' name. What does it mean to pray in Jesus' name? Hear me very carefully. It means you're praying with the mindset that you're praying in Jesus' stead. You're praying as Jesus' representative here in the earth. You're saying, I'm standing in the place of Jesus. I'm kneeling in the place of Jesus when you pray in Jesus' name. You're praying with the character, the nature of Jesus himself. How can you pray in Jesus' name if you don't know his character? How can you pray in Jesus' name if you really don't have his nature? When you pray in Jesus' name, you're praying with the mind of Christ. Remember, Paul told the Philippians, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. You're praying with the mind of Christ, and you're praying Jesus' will, not your will. You're praying to glorify God and not yourself. You're praying to bless others. And you're praying to even bless yourself if you believe it's in line with the word of God for your own spiritual good, for your own spiritual edification. That's what it means to pray in Jesus' name. So when we say, Father, Jesus taught us to pray to the Father. When we say Father in Jesus' name, we're saying, we're not coming as Jerry Williams here today. We're not asking you to look at our life, but we're asking you to look at the life of Christ in us. If God looked at us and looked at our lives when we pray, we wouldn't get a prayer through, because none of us are worthy. None of us are worthy. So I need God to see the Christ in me. I need him to understand that I'm not asking for something to consume it upon my own lust, but I'm praying as if Jesus prayed, like Jesus prayed. So that's what it means to pray in Jesus' name. Now, there are four conditions according to the New Testament. When you look at all the scriptures and put them together, there's four conditions to an answered prayer. Now, how many really want your prayers answered? How many tired of praying and it's just a religious calisthenic or a religious activity, a religious motion to go to? How many really want to get an answer to your prayer? Why pray if you're not going to get an answer? And I'm telling you, don't be so quick to pray about something. First, get in the Word to get the mind of God on that subject. Then you can pray in Jesus' name, because you're going to pray as if he prayed. And remember, the Father delights to answer prayer that's offered in the name of his only begotten, his only beloved Son. He delights it. It's like some of you may have had the experience where you needed something. Maybe you need a favor, you need a door open, or maybe you needed a good deal on a transaction. And a second person would tell you, when you go meet the third person, tell them I sent you. Hello. Tell them I sent you. And why do you say tell them I sent you? Because you're saying they will give you favor because of me. And when we pray in Jesus' name, God gives us favor because of Jesus, not because of us. So what are the four conditions to receiving an answer to prayer? First of all, you got to pray in Jesus' name. And it may take some doing to get there, to develop the character, the nature, the mind, the will of Jesus, to pray in a way where you know what I'm praying, what I'm asking for, what I'm petitioning God for, it's going to glorify God. And it's not going to make me look good. You don't pray so you can look better. You're praying and you want this, you want that, and it's all because you want other folks to look at you a certain way. those prayers will not be answered. So the first thing you have to do, you have to pray in Jesus' name. Remember the promise. We just read it in our foundation scripture. We read it in our text. Whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. I will do it. Jesus is saying it's not about you. It's about the Father being glorified in me. That is Jesus. So we pray in Jesus' name. That's the first thing we do. The second thing we do, we pray in faith. Faith. What do we know about faith? Well, without it, you can't please God. We pray in faith. Mark 11, verse 24. Jesus told his disciples, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. To believe that you receive them is to have faith. Believe that you receive them, and he said you shall have them. So faith is believing that you have the answer before the answer materialized, before it's ever manifested. And this is why when you pray again or subsequent to the time you prayed, you're not asking God for the same thing, because if you do, you're saying, I don't believe you did it in the first place. But Jesus said, you must believe that you receive. What things, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, you believe that you receive them and you shall have them. If I believe that I receive them, then I got to act like it. Then subsequently, I got to pray like it. And when I pray for it, subsequently, I'm saying, Father, thank you for it. I praise you for it because I believe I receive. So there has to be faith. And when you understand the four conditions of prayer, you ain't got to be bawling and crying all night, begging and pleading. You don't do that. You believe that you're standing as Jesus' representative. You're standing in his stead. And because the Father loves him and you love Jesus, therefore the Father loves you. And because of Jesus' sake, he will gladly do what you're praying for. So after you pray in Jesus' name, and after you pray in faith, then you got to pray. What did he say? You have to pray according to God's will. According to God's will. And that means exactly what it says. Now, I don't know about you, but Joyce and I, we have a last will and testament. And in that last will and testament, there are provisions. There are a lot of words in it. There are conditions. Things are outlined. Instructions are given. Well, God did the same thing for us with this Bible. The New Testament is Jesus' last will and testament. And so the third condition to receive an answer prayer, you must pray according to God's will. God's will is God's word. My last will and testament are the words in my will. So what did John say about it? 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. He said, this is the confidence that we have in him, that whatsoever we ask according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, then we know that we have those things that we have desired of him. Anything in my will that's left for anybody, it's theirs, and they can have confidence that it's theirs when they read the will. You don't read the will and your mama don't left you something. You said, mama, did you really leave that for me? I wonder if she really meant that. We don't do that. And some of us, when somebody died, we run up in the house to see what we can take out even before the will's ever read. But yet when it comes to the things of God, we're slow for we did or we drag our feet. We got to have confidence. I'm not going to pray about something if I have confidence. And some folk want to tell you how to pray for them. No, I'll listen to you, but I got to hear what God is saying. And then I have to be able to stand on this word if I'm going to pray with confidence. If I'm not praying with confidence, I'm just wasting my time. And some folk, yes, you're wasting your time to keep praying for them. You're just wasting your time trying to act spiritual. Some people ain't ready for prayer. You're not ready for prayer if you're not ready to hear what God said. Well, I really didn't want you to preach to me. I just want you to pray that this go away. Well, let me tell you what God said about this. But you pray with confidence when you know what the will is. And you know what the will is when you open the Word of God. And so don't be in a hurry to start praying about something. Start turning these pages and find what God said about your situation, your issue. Find out what God said. And then pray. And then pray. Then the fourth condition, obviously, is obedience. Now, when you read the New Testament, you'll see these in, laid out in different orders. But this is the order that works for me. Number one, I want to pray in Jesus' name. Number two, I want to pray in faith. Number three, I want to pray according to his will. That's where my confidence comes in. Then number three, I got to make sure I'm in obedience. Obedience. You can't live any kind of life you want to live and think. I don't care how much words you think you know and how much words you say you're going to pray. It means nothing if you're not living an obedient life. What did John say? We just read that the other night in Bible study, didn't we? 1 John chapter 3, verse 22 says, And whatsoever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments. And we do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Have you kept his commandments? Have you done those things that are pleasing in his sight? How could you have confidence for an answered prayer when you know you haven't kept the commandments? And Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another even as I have loved you. Love God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. Jesus said, that's the great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. He didn't say love them if they're straight. He didn't say love them if they're gay. Come on, somebody. He says love your neighbor. And we allow all these social things to block our blessings. We want to take sides with the abortion issue. Take sides with the LGBTQ issue. They're God's creations, all of them. We're called to love all of them. And we just put your little peanut brain philosophy and opinion to the side and just love them the way God says love them. Come on. I'm not going to let anything block my blessing. So John says you got to be obedient. And whatsoever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments. And we do those things pleasing in his sight. Married couples, you can pray all you want about the problems in your marriage, but are you doing those things that are pleasing in his sight? See, it's easy to look at the other person and say, well, they're not doing this, that, and the other. But are you still loving them as if they were doing this, that, and the other? And it goes both ways. God wants us to do things that are pleasing in his sight. Keep the commandments. And he gave us a great commandment. And a commandment second to that one. Then he gave us a new commandment. Are we keeping those commandments? Do you love everybody? I didn't say, he didn't say you have to like them, but do you love them? And how do you distinguish love from like? How can you say that? But I don't like everybody. I'm just keeping it real. I do not like everybody. Maybe some of you up in here I don't like. But I love everybody with all my heart. I do. I do. I've never met a person I didn't love. Because what I do, I see the glory of God in their life. I see their God's creation. How can you say love God and you love what he made? They're created in the image and after the likeness of God. Even in their sinful condition, there's still a piece of God inside of them. God is still inside of them. His thumbprint is still on them. And we have to love them. And I'm telling you, that's where the power comes from. Love him. If you don't love, you won't have any power. God is love. He's all powerful. You walk in love. You always have faith in God. If you want to do the greater works. So obedience. Then Jesus told his disciples in John 15, I'm almost through. He said, if you abide in me. If you abide in me. And my words abide in you. You shall ask what you will. And it shall be done unto you. What does it mean to abide in him? And allow his words to abide in us. To abide means to remain. To abide means to live, to continue, to stay there. To keep on keeping on. That's what it means to abide. You cannot be obedient if you're not abiding in Christ. You can't even be obedient if you're not loving as he instructed us to love. He also said, I believe this was also in John 14, 15, around verse 23 in one of them. He said, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and my Father and I will come unto that man and make our abode in him. That's abiding. He abides in us, but we first must abide in him and allow his word to abide in us. When his word abides in us, it is he himself abiding in us. So most assuredly I say unto every one of you.
Join us Sunday at Agape Word Fellowship, where Dr. Jerry Maya Williams is your pastor, proclaiming a life-changing message of the agape love and power that God is. For more information, log on now at www.agapeword.net, 1430 South New Hope Road, Agape Word Fellowship.